So George, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. So for my question here is, what issues exist with the current process of exchanging payment-related info? And also, if we could dovetail that into, what are the pain points and inefficiencies?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ryan. So I think this is a long time coming for the industry, certainly for more than a decade. Notch has been working with industry to solve the issues that are really experienced by businesses from 10 years ago to today when it comes to exchanging payment-related information. I think, first of all, it's important to know that it's just not about routing of a payment. I think that's a misconception. When we talk about exchanging payment-related information, it's about the authenticity of that information. It includes invoicing. It's about compliance data. And it's about payment remittance. So when we think about those things, what are the issues that businesses are seeing today? One is a lack of automation. So when payment information is exchanged today, it's very manually intensive. It's phone calls, emails, you know, even U.S. mail to exchange the information. The second thing is it's a lack of standardization. So how I get that information, the formatting, which channel it comes in, is also adds complexity to the process. There's also a lack of interoperability. So there has been, over the last decade, a lot of proprietary directories that have been stood up, and they are very effective in providing support to exchange payment-related information. But there's very little interoperability. So if I want to exchange information with others that are not in my particular network or solution, that's where it becomes more difficult. And this is a particular hurdle for small or medium-sized organizations where they just can't participate in multiple solutions. And I think the final thing I would say is there's a need for better fraud protection. So exchanging this information, how you do it is one thing, understanding that you can depend on it, that it is reliable information. I think when you think about exchanging payment-related information, one of the primary ways to defraud businesses today is when they receive a change to a request to change information. So how do I know that change is legitimate? How do I know that, you know, when I should do that or when I should question it? And that's when we see a lot of the manual interventions that are there today, where phone calls are done, email verifications, whatever businesses can kind of think of, that's what they're doing today to ensure that the information is correct. And I think, you know, finally, as we talked about kind of the history of this, when the industry thinks about this, and when I say industry, I mean financial institutions, business service providers, everyone involved in a payment lifecycle, they tend to think about it's not just another directory that's needed, right? We have directories. And so there used to be a term called directory of directories. But what this was, what people were trying to visualize is how could we provide interoperability and standardization amongst what we have? How do you make that work better? And I think that's what we're gonna talk about today.
You know, certainly. I think it's extremely interesting when you kind of just take a look at like the history of this all. You know, you point out kind of the directories of directories here, and kind of just the software side of my brain just kind of chuckles and laughs because you kind of just look at the evolution that we've kind of gone through. And I think it's fantastic to really see the payments industry as a whole kind of say, no, we need a set standard here and kind of a how this data is transferred in the information and all of those type of things, and kind of being like, here's the standard of how it is that we're all going to do this, because it does allow for better flexibility and connectivity when you do that. But you have to have that standardization, because as you pointed out with the directory of directories, it's kind of a Mickey Mousing all of these wires together to try to get this to work, when the best solution is really to just kind of have that one standard that everybody follows. And so I'd really like to now talk about Afixius. So Notcha recently sent out a press release around Afixius. So I'd like to get from your standpoint, you know, how does it address the problems that we were previously discussing in exchanging payment-related info that you identified?
Yeah, so Ron, obviously, you know, I think we're pretty excited here at Notcha about the opportunity. We did hire a technology partner and Ernst & Young to help us kind of put this vision, you know, actually to market. Last year in 2019, we spent most of that year developing a proof of concept, which we demonstrated to the industry. Again, we got good feedback from that. So everybody said, look, if this thing existed, if it was a real thing in production, we think you're onto it. This is what it should do. This is how it should work. And so we took that data, and as you said, we've developed Afixius. And it is a platform for secure exchange of payment-related information. And I think the description is important because, as you just stated, this is not a directory. This is not what's being developed and is what's being launched in May of this year. As a platform, when you think about that terminology, it's used pretty common today. I think of it as a platform almost like you would a social media platform, like LinkedIn or Facebook. You have several components. I think the first is technology. And for Fixius, technology was important because we're utilizing emerging technologies like blockchain and distributed ledger, RESTful APIs, cloud-based environments. So what does this mean to the platform? It really means it allows businesses to exchange payment-related information without centralizing the data. So there is no directory or database in the sky that everyone's going to and creating that risk, and no one wants to share data that way. So that's what this technology allows. It also supports real-time alerts for businesses. So what we know is when payment-related information exchange, that information doesn't live forever. It can be changed. People can change bank accounts. They can change their preferences on what they want for remittance. So by leveraging the technology within the platform, we're able to provide real-time alerts to businesses that have that data so that they can get the change data safely and securely, and as I said, in real time. I think the second part of a platform in order for it to be effective is around participant rules. We all have to agree that we're going to act the same way. We understand the transactions we're going to exchange and what those mean. So for Fixius, it includes a set of operating rules that were developed and will be governed by NACHA. So the rules, they really provide confidence and surety to everyone connected to the platform that anything from liabilities to warranties, all those things are addressed, which are obviously a big concern. And I think the third part of the platform, in addition to technology and rules, is really the network of participants. So just like a social media platform, it becomes way more valuable with broad adoption. The number of users you have a platform, the more effective it is. With Fixius, it is the same way. However, the way the platform is designed, really only financial institutions and service providers are directly connected to the platform. They're providing downstream products and services to their businesses. So the result of that is it really requires a smaller number of endpoints to create value for all the businesses. So I think that's unique to the platform as well.
No, certainly very interesting. And I'm glad that you have brought up that, you know, it's being built on, you know, the emerging technologies here, where there's really that no central data pool or data lake for there, which is fantastic from a fraud perspective, because then there's no of that kind of great like honeypot there, right? It's kind of there's data kind of all over here. So there's no centralized like repository for a fraudster to get in there and be like, aha, here's kind of the mother load of data that I can use to sell on the black market or whatever other nefarious activities that a fraudster has planned here. But I'm curious with Fixius and by extension NACHA here, so why really was it, you know, in kind of NACHA's best interest to kind of pursue developing Fixius, you know, for this modernization and streamlined payment processes?
Yeah, I think for NACHA, Ryan, so part of the proof of concept last year and even the predecessor to that was industry engagement. So making sure that did NACHA, for one, understand the problem. So we went out to the industry and said, is this an opportunity? If such a thing existed, would the industry use it? Would it provide value? Is this the answer that the industry is looking for? So the feedback for that was, yes, this is what we all agree. We may not know yet how exactly we want it to work, but yes. So our second question was, well, if we're going to get together and create interoperability and standardization along with the technology I described, would NACHA be a likely organization to lead this? Would they be an organization that could operate the platform? And the feedback again was, yeah, I think NACHA not only has such experience with the ACH network and rule writing and just, you know, being the steward of that network, but also its work it's done elsewhere in the payments industry. So we have brought the industry together many, many times, whether, you know, ACH or not. And so I think we got the response we were looking for there. Now, so when you think about, so what are the other qualifications? I think it is with NACHA's long experience with businesses who either send or receive electronic payments. We have a long history. The ACH network is built off of B2B payments. So everything or B2C with direct deposit. So we have a long engagement and the expertise that goes along with that with businesses. The other part of this, I think, is their active participation in the industry. I mentioned a decade, but even recently. So we have been very active in leadership roles on the Federal Reserve's task force and councils. We actually acquired a small organization called the Business Payments Directory Association last year in an effort to move forward with Fixius. We actually, Notch has developed a B2B payments directory. Again, Fixius is not a directory, but we have that background and experience, and that directory is still in production today and results of millions of ACH transactions every year. So I think Notch is well positioned because we understand it's not technology alone that will give us success. You've got to have the standardization and the rules needed to really see mass adoption.
Excellent. No, I certainly agree with your last point there, where it's not just a technology issue here, that you have to understand that the technology itself is just a tool, but you have to have the data and information that sits behind it to really make it efficient and effective and used within the industry. But now I'd like to kind of put a little bit finer of a scope on this conversation here for our last question, and specifically take a look at API standardization. So from your point of view at Notcha, what is the role that API standardization is playing in the development of Fixius specifically and in modernizing payments industry more generally?
Yeah, I think tying that directly to Fixius is an interesting point, Brian. So in conjunction with this effort, Notcha over the past couple of years, we, like everyone else, have seen that APIs, you know, have taken the front page of almost every article you're reading about payments modernization and what's going on in the industry. And I think we began to question, as others did, to say, well, all of this innovation is great, but is there a lack of standardization? Is that a problem as well? So we did the same industry engagement and talked about that issue separately. And it was seen to be an opportunity by financial institutions, by service providers, and the like, and of course, end users to say, yeah, this whole idea of APIs automating manual processes, making things easier, you know, making everything that businesses do better and improved, that's a good thing. However, without standardization, it is hard to support. It is hard to do this a different way for different endpoints. And we're seeing more and more of that. And I think across the globe, we see a true effort in the UK and in Europe, in New Zealand, Australia, and in Asia Pacific, that APIs standardization is a large effort by those countries. So we began an organization called Affinis. And Affinis is a membership organization, and they have one role, is to create API standard products. So they've been doing that for about 18 months on to 2 years with success, right? Working with the industry, getting these APIs tested, understanding what it's going to need for adoption. But related to Fixius, when you think about that story, for Fixius, we've already said it's not a directory. So you're not coming to the platform, or you're not coming to a database to extract data and then take it back to your system. What you are doing with Fixius is you are connecting to other endpoints. We are allowing that to happen through tokenization and through authentication with the platform. So it really is one endpoint connecting to another, and that's where that data is exchanging. Well, this is why standardization is so important. Each endpoint can't write or define its own APIs and its own, you know, those things. Then it becomes very hard to scale with that lack of standardization. So for that reason alone, it's why it's important to Fixius. Now, standardization as a whole, no matter what we're talking about, typically the benefits you see from that are things like lower cost of integration, lower support cost, and a better agility for future development. So how do we make a change? How do we make it together? And I think that's the same for Fixius. We would see the same benefits there as well.
No, excellent. I certainly agree. You know, you kind of brought up a lot of things in terms of just what we're seeing from a global standpoint, you know, outside of the U.S., where you've got, like, say, even the U.K. that is kind of mandated with open banking. And so obviously a lot of the industries over there have to have that API standardization. So I'm really glad to see, particularly in this instance, you know, Affinis kind of really pushing that the industry as a whole really needs to move forward as quickly as possible with API standardization on that. Because, you know, for the reasons that you had pointed out there. And obviously the software part of my brain here is just kind of cheering and applauding, just because I love to see efficiencies in the industry. And obviously APIs standardization brings along with it a lot of efficiencies, again, that you had pointed out. So, Will, George, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about Fixius and how Notcha is going to be modernizing and streamlining the payment process. And I hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.